Yo, what it do, you? It's your boy Sammy Nichols from the Rap Chat Podcast. Today we are taking it back 100 years to learn about the start of the music we listen to nowadays. So that being said, we will discuss Duke Ellington, one of the all-time great composers and writers in music history, who had a whole orchestra to himself. The mixture between Duke's pure brilliance, Billy Strayhorn's second opinion, and the group of elite musicians in his orchestra created incredible music that has impacted so many. No one had ever seen music quite like his. In order to be a world-renowned artist, certain characteristics and abilities have to be attained. It is hard to explain what exactly was going through Duke's mind when he created his masterpieces. Not only did he work behind the scenes, but he was one heck of an entertainer. The way his fingers just bounced off the piano, and how he looked around at everyone with his giant smile, people loved him. He talked to his orchestra in a different language when he critiqued the music, and they understood each other extremely well. Fun fact, he was also a very big procrastinator, and only a deadline could make him start up his engine. I mean, how crazy is that? You're the best jazz composer of all time, and you hesitate when it comes to creating your own music. And as I have mentioned before, Duke Ellington was not only a writer. He also played music and entertained thousands of people. He also played at many different venues, from a cotton club in Harlem to Carnegie Hall. And he also had two European tours in the 1930s. And can you believe he procrastinated as bad as a high schooler?
So let's look into a little bit of the background of Duke Ellington. His real name is actually Edward Kennedy Ellington, and he was born on April 29th, 1899 in Washington, D.C., and he moved to New York City in the 1920s. Although he liked to make everyone think that he did everything himself, he did work alongside Billy Strayhorn, who was a like-minded composer and arranger. He had his own jazz orchestra to play his music right after he created it. Duke Ellington said, "My reward is hearing what I've done, and unlike most composers, I can hear it immediately. That's why I keep these expensive gentlemen with me." He took great pride in his orchestra, for good reason. I mean, it was arguably the best jazz orchestra in history, with countless stars coming and going. Duke, A Life of Duke Ellington by Terry Teachout, quotes, "The band was his musical laboratory. His orchestra was an instrumental part of his work." No pun intended. This is the life of Duke Ellington. So as we know, Duke made many masterpieces, but one that specifically stood out is Black, Brown, and Beige. This is a 43-minute long composition first played at Carnegie Hall in 1943, which was one of the biggest stages to play on. Bassist and composer Christian McBride stated in an NPR interview, "Just the way the textures build, the way the melody builds, the sort of sophisticated harmony, it's not just dominant seventh chords or triads. You get these flat nines, these flat 13s, these superimposed chords. That was just not standard. This was something that no one had ever heard before." It got mixed reviews, but that is expected when a black composer writes a song about the history of black people. Even nowadays, people still sometimes refuse to accept something that is different from what they're used to hearing. In order to make something special, risks need to be taken. Duke Ellington's Black, Brown, and Beige was one of the first songs by a famous writer pushing for the rights of African Americans. He knew it wouldn't be 100% accepted at first, and that there would be a little bit of hate. He overcame that adversity and has influenced many artists who make songs about what they believe is right, even if it will receive some backlash. Freedom by Beyoncé, featuring Kendrick Lamar, addresses the issue of police brutality and strengthening the black culture in America. Rolling Stone magazine says, "Beyoncé's Lemonade was largely an expression of the black female experience, but building on the political aspects of her Formation video, where she sang atop a sinking cop car in New Orleans, and Super Bowl performance, where she was surrounded by dancers in Black Panther uniforms, the pop superstar made one of the most striking political statements of her career with Freedom." There is no question that the 1940s were very different than the 2010s, but that doesn't mean that there are not many people that disagree with the message. It still takes a certain amount of toughness to put something out into the world that takes a stand on controversial events. But this is a perfect representation of America. We are all different and all have different views, but if we want change, we earn it. We work for the respect of our peers and our American acquaintances. All right. That is heavy and a lot to take in. So now let us sit back and chillax with a sentimental mood. In my opinion, the best piece that Duke had ever made. With 89,640,216 streams on Spotify, A Sentimental Mood has the ears of many humans living in today's age. When I listen to this song, I feel like I am in my own world. When I put the big over-ear headphones on and all concerns and problems just vanish. It is one thing to make music for people to listen to in the current age, but if people are still listening to it 100 years later, then hats off. Duke created a legacy. I mean, A Sentimental Mood is one of my favorite songs to chill to. When I listen to this song, it takes me back in time, almost like I am walking around the most glimmering city in the world, New York City. I love New York. I mean, I love it. And this song gives me a special connection to that city. It feels almost as if I were there, walking in Central Park. The song is so powerful that it creates this special scene in your head. And right as this scene completely hits you, the saxophone cuts out and the pace picks up with the hi-hat giving the song a strong backbone to work around. The piano starts to shine and you feel like you are literally floating above the city. The city is also a big part of Toni Morrison's novel, Jazz. When they fall in love with the city, it is for forever. As though there never was a time when they didn't love it. This quote seems to directly correlate with A Sentimental Mood. People have special relations with their surroundings. And New York City happens to surround many people who are in love with the city. No other city can make you feel so alive. It is really hard to explain it with words, but the music can explain it perfectly. And words can't explain Duke Ellington's legacy either, and that is a job made for his music. So what did Duke Ellington give to not only the jazz world, but the music world? Not only was he the greatest jazz composer of all time, he knew exactly what components needed to be put together to create a masterpiece, but he was also a trailblazer when it came to standing up for something he was passionate about, such as equality for his race. This was the life of Duke Ellington.